Hello, everyone, and welcome to Orlando Overtime, your local Sports Orlando podcast. I am your host, Jonathan Treadway, and you are listening to episode 1 of Orlando Overtime. That's right, it's our very first episode, and I am so pumped to get this show started and underway. I'm a huge Orlando Magic fan, Orlando sports fan, Orlando City fan, just everything Orlando. I'm also a contributing writer at OrlandoMagicDaily.com. I've been a Magic fan ever since I was a year old, back in 1992. So I went to games in Shaq's rookie year, yes. So I've been a Magic fan for a while now. And a big Orlando sports fan, and I'm just so excited to do this show. It's kind of been a little idea of mine that I've had in the back of my head, especially ever since I started writing for Orlando Magic Daily. Good friend of mine, the editor for Orlando Magic Daily, Philip Rossman Reich, also does his podcast, Locked On Magic. So I figured, you know what, why not give this a try? But my idea with this show, where that one is all geared to Magic, and I will say he does talk a little bit about Orlando City and some of the other sports, but I wanted to focus on Orlando sports in general on this podcast. That's why it is Orlando Overtime. Now, yes, because I am a contributing writer and a huge Orlando Magic fan and season ticket holder, of course I'm going to be talking about the Magic a good majority of the time, but I am an Orlando City fan. I do love soccer, and so we will be talking about Orlando City a lot. I went to UCF, so obviously I will be talking about UCF sports a lot as well. We'll also be talking about the Solar Bears on here as they come and go every once in a while, and just any other kind of general sports thing that's happening in the Central Florida area. And you know, sometimes if it's a big story nationally, I'll talk about that some too. It's kind of my show, so I'll go ahead and talk about whatever I can on here and hopefully keep some followers, but we're gonna try to keep it mainly Orlando here. So without further ado, I want to go ahead and get started by basically talking about this Orlando summer break that we're on this week. Since this is the week that I'm starting this podcast, and that's going to be the name of this episode, Orlando Summer Break, the reason why the Magic are in the middle of their off-season, free agency ended basically last week or a week and a half ago, I guess now. The MLS All-Star game is this week. So the MLS is basically on a break as well. So I just want to talk about both of these teams while we're in this break period that we're in and kind of fill this voided week, I guess you could call it. And we're going to start off, obviously, with the Magic's offseason, because there is a lot to talk about here. Now, I want to actually start by going all the way back to April and looking at the team then. You had a Magic team who came off of the All-Star break last year, and the starting five actually improved. I don't have any stats right here in front of me, but if you listen to any radio shows or any podcast or any kind of media that talks about either the Magic or just the NBA in general, or if you just look at stats yourself, you can see that the starting five for the Magic's efficiency improved tremendously after the All-Star break. They were a better unit on the floor, and honestly, you don't even have to have stats to really be able to tell that they just meshed better. You could look with your eyes and see that that team improved. They looked better, they ran the floor better, the chemistry was better, body language wise, spacing wise, defense wise, it just looked better. And it kind of gave Magic fans, I feel like, a hope that this team At that point, we definitely knew they weren't going to make the playoffs. But I was kind of hoping that that would be the spark that would move this team towards turning that corner. And maybe that this next upcoming year would be a huge plus. The only thing that really kept that in my mind from happening was the bench. The bench last year was atrocious, and I mean atrocious for the Magic. It was ranked statistically wise as one of the worst benches in the NBA last year. And you could tell every time they went on the floor, they just could not do anything to save the game, or save their playing time, save anything. They couldn't save a cat from a burning building last year. They were just awful on the floor. And so one of the main concerns I feel like for a lot of Magic fans going into this offseason was figuring out how to fits the bench, basically. How could we add depth to a bench that was really lacking in a lot of areas that just had no good solid foundation to it? And it was really kind of a mystery how that was going to be done. I think a lot of people at that time knew that the writing on the wall, or the writing was on the wall for Rob Hennigan. A lot of people knew that he was going to be on his way out. And so it was really kind of going to be a mystery to a lot of Magic fans as to one, who was going to be taking over for him. And depending on who was going to be taking over for Rob Hennigan, what they were going to do to fits the Magic bench, especially with the salary cap room that the Magic had, because the Magic really didn't have any salary cap room at all this offseason to make any kind of moves with. So I felt like a lot of Magic fans, myself included, were really thinking that it was going to be a minimal offseason. I went in knowing we were going to pick up a draft pick, obviously, at least two, because I knew that we had three. I didn't know going in June that we had a fourth draft pick, but that was a good surprise. So I knew we were going to at least have two because I had a feeling that they were going to trade one of those draft picks to move up or get a better player or something along those lines. So I knew we were going to have at least one draft pick. Pretty much had a feeling we were going to have two. And I really thought at the start of June that we were going to have maybe one, at most two signings, two free agent signings in the offseason. And if we got two free agent signings, that they were going to be sub-level players, we'll put it that way. Guys who weren't necessarily awful players, you know, obviously NBA caliber, but who weren't really going to add anything to help your team out. I didn't really see us getting anything that was going to make my eyes pop when I looked at the bench and say, wow, what an upgrade there. We really nailed that one. And so we go into the offseason, Hennigan gets let go. Not a surprise. And going into the offseason after Hennigan got taken away, the biggest names that were coming out were for the GM position, or I guess the president of basketball operations position, whichever one they were looking for first. A lot of names were being thrown around. Dan Gilbert, I think it's Dan Gilbert or David Griffin from the Cavaliers. I always get those two mixed up. I think it's David Griffin, actually, was the GM. So David Griffin from the Cavaliers was one. Masai from the Toronto Raptors was another one. I found it really interesting that early on in the conversation, there were a lot of Etz Magic players that were being mentioned for this position. Grant Hill was one name that had been thrown out there. Pat Garrity, who is I believe he's a assistant GM out in Utah, who is, in my mind, a great, great player, a very high basketball IQ player. His name was being put into the conversation. Chauncey Billups, I had heard at one point. So a lot of good names were out there, being thrown around. But ultimately, the Magic picked Jeff Weltman to be the president of basketball operations. And when they first picked him, I wasn't necessarily surprised or puzzled by the pick. But I will be honest, I didn't really know that much of the background of Jeff Weltman. So I had to do a little bit of research on him, found out about his history in Detroit and Toronto and the Clippers out in LA for the time, and saw a little bit of the work that he did. And I got kind of excited, mainly because of the experience that he had and the types of teams and the types of players that he had been around. It was really something that seemed like it was in a different direction from Hennigan. And not that I necessarily hated Rob Hennigan, I will say by the time he left, I was not the biggest fan of his by any means, but I didn't really necessarily hate him either. But I think myself, along with most Magic fans, after 5 years of giving him a chance to really mold this team, give him the reins, do with the team, I don't want to necessarily say whatever he wanted to, but kind of give him free rein over how to make direction of the team or mold it into what he wanted it to be, and not having any results come out of it, it just got a little depressing and a little frustrating as a Magic fan to see him, especially the last 2 years. It felt like he kind of panicked trying to make things happen in Orlando and gambled on a couple of deals or signings, and then it just didn't really work out, especially with that Serge Ibaka trade towards the end of his tenure. And so Weltman seemed to me like a step in a different direction and a step in a better direction. So that really, to me, started the off season off on the right note and gave it some momentum going forward in the right direction that the Magic really needed to start moving in. They followed that up by hiring John Hammond as the GM, which was a fantastic pickup. And pairing Hammond and Weltman, who had worked together, was just a 1-2 punch that really told me that the Magic were getting serious about the type of people that they wanted to bring in to make sure that the team started moving in a direction and towards a way that was really going to get results and build this team not just for the short term, but really build it up to be a good, steady, long-term team. And so I was really getting excited about that, but I was still a little curious to see what was going to happen in the draft and what they were going to do as far as free agency going in. And I gotta say that I was thoroughly surprised, but in a good way, by the Magic and what they were able to do this offseason. And you really look at it, they start off by picking up Jonathan Isaac in the draft. And to be honest, when they drafted him, I don't want to say that I wasn't sold on Jonathan Isaac, but I wasn't necessarily sure that that was the way to go. But the more that I've heard from him and after watching him play in the Summer League, this kid has a very, very, very high ceiling and a lot of potential. And a lot of people going into the draft said that he probably had the most potential of any of the players that were coming into the draft, but he was the most raw. But after watching him play in the Summer League, he's got some skills already. And his athleticism and the way that his body is built right now is definitely going to give him an advantage even early on. You're talking about a guy who is listed at 6'10". I've stood next to him. I think he's more like 7'1". freakishly tall kid, an extremely long wingspan. He has a 9 foot standing reach, meaning that with his feet on the ground, it goes up 9 feet. I mean, just a ridiculous reach. He's Kevin Durant to me coming out of college without the shot. And that's not to say that Jonathan Isaac can't shoot the ball. I watched him in Summer League. He put up some very nice, impressive shots. And with that similar size to Kevin Durant, he has the similar type style where he can basically shoot just over just about anybody that he wants to with a high release point on his shot. And he just has the ability to pull up next to you and shoot right over you. And that's a great thing that the Magic are going to be looking for. I think the biggest thing to his shot that Kevin Durant had that Jonathan Isaac is probably missing is just a consistency to it and maybe the range. I think Kevin Durant was a little bit more on from the NBA 3-point line coming out of college than Jonathan Isaac is. And so that's something that he's going to need to work on. And definitely his size will be something that they work on in the off season. If you go to OrlandoMagicDaily.com, I wrote an article on there about Jonathan Isaac's goals for his rookie season. And one of those that I had mentioned was that he's going to need to beef up before the season starts because at his current size and where he's at now, he's just going to need some more beef. Or else he's going to get pushed around in the paint and whatnot. So, but the more that I watch Jonathan Isaac, the more that I think this is a great pickup, and it's a sign of where the Magic want to go as far as that prototypical player heading into the future. And he's definitely a guy that can right now play the three or the four. Eventually down the line, he might even be able to play the five spot some, but for sure the three and the four. And he's got that versatility that if he has to, he can go out and guard the one or the two on the perimeter and do that. I think he's going to be valuable coming off the bench, at least for the first few months of the season, playing behind Aaron Gordon, maybe getting some time at the three playing with Aaron Gordon. Or just coming in off of the bench behind whoever starts at the three. But he's definitely going to get some solid playing time, and I think he's going to follow that up with some good play off of the bench. So I'm really excited for Jonathan Isaac. And then we followed that up by making some great signings in the offseason that kind of came out of nowhere to me. We started off by signing Shelvin Mack, who had been kind of on the radar of the Magic. At least he had been on some rumored reports that I had seen before the signing went official, that a couple of people had said that Shelvin Mack was a potential to go to the Magic, but I didn't really think too much of it just because I didn't really think he was going to move from a Utah team who, even though they had gotten rid of Gordon Hayward, was still a solid team out west. But the Magic end up signing him on a pretty good deal. And then we got the steal of the year, or at least the steal of the off season, I believe so far. Jonathan Simmons deciding to come to the Magic from San Antonio on a 3-year, $19 million deal. Even when it first came out, it was said that he was being signed for a 3-year, $20 million deal, which almost everyone that I heard or was listening to at that time when the deal was first reported was saying how great of a deal that was. But then to find out that it was a 3-year, $19 million deal with the last year only partially guaranteed, just fantastic signing for the Magic. The way that they were able to make that happen on the kind of budget that they had, it was absolutely great for them. I think Jonathan Simmons is going to be a fantastic pickup for this Magic team. He has the ability and the skills to start on this team. I don't necessarily know right now who he replaces if he does get a starting role, if it ends up being Fournier coming off of the bench, or if it ends up being Terrence Ross coming off of the bench. If I had a preference, I would probably say I would rather see Fournier come off of the bench. I just think that Fournier has been suspect at times. He has a tendency of turning the ball over a lot, making mental mistakes down the stretch when you need to be playing solid and not making mental mistakes. And I think the great thing about Jonathan Isaac is even if he doesn't get a starting spot and he comes off the bench, he's going to bring a mentality from being on a San Antonio team under Greg Popovich, playing with Kawhi Leonard and others that have been on that team. And coming from his background, and if you don't know about his story, you need to go research Jonathan Simmons' story because it's a fantastic story. Having to pay to do a tryout in the D League and then joining a team and getting an NBA contract, just absolutely fantastic. But he's gonna bring a hunger to this Magic team that I think has not been on this team in a very long time. And to me, that's as much of a plus for this team as any of his basketball skill sets are, because he's gonna be a valuable asset either as a starter or off of the bench as far as basketball goes. During the regular season, he didn't really average too much as far as points wise, but in the playoffs, if you watched him against Golden State, he averaged, I think it was around 17 points a game against Golden State, who we all know won the finals last year. So he had a very impressive going in that series, and I think he can just build off of that. And so it's going to be great, but he adds that intensity and that hunger that has not been on this Magic team for a long time. It's something that I've said that they've needed for a while because this team plays well here and there. They have good games every once in a while, but it's never looked like they've had a hunger or fire under them to want to win a bunch of games. And I think that's the biggest thing that Jonathan Isaac brings to this team that will absolutely help them out 100%. And then the other two guys that add to this team at the end, Aaron Aflalo and Maurice Spates, who Aaron Aflalo, for those of you that know and remember, played in Orlando for a stint of time. It was 2 seasons before he was traded to Denver, ironically enough, for Evan Fournier, and was here for a while. Aaron Aflalo said that he had his best time in the NBA while he was in Orlando. And his statistics to me kind of show that and prove it. When he was in Orlando, he was averaging a little bit above 17 points per game. Ever since then, it's just been downhill for him. And he hasn't really found a place where his game has fit in, where he's really made a niche like he did in Orlando. And you could hear when he was talking about coming back to Orlando, how he was very excited to be back here. And, you know, he said he doesn't want to be a cheerleader on the bench. I'm sure that that doesn't mean that he's not going to cheer for his teammates, but he came here to compete and to be the player that he once was. Now, do I think he's going to be the same player that he was the first time that he was in Orlando? Probably not, because he's probably most likely going to be coming off of the bench, whereas in Orlando, a lot of times he was starting. He was the main points getter. A lot of times it was give Aaron the ball and let him create off the dribble. And I don't really see that happening this time around in Orlando. I think if he's coming off of the bench and Jonathan Simmons is coming off of the bench, you're probably going to see Aflalo at two and Simmons at three. And you'll see a lot of the ball handling done by either Shelvin Mack or Jonathan Simmons. And if Jonathan Isaac's coming off the bench, then you will see him with the ball a lot. And we'll probably just see Aaron Aflalo more as a stand outside the arc and a catch and shoot type of guy, where Jonathan Simmons and Jonathan Isaac drive the paint and attack the basket. And if they can suck defenses in to guard them, then they can dish it out to Aflalo to put up that outside shot. I think he's going to get a good amount of points that way, and I think this is a role that he will feel comfortable with, being that supplemental scorer off of the bench for the Magic, because we all absolutely know that the Magic as a whole needed scoring desperately, and especially off of the bench last year, bench that seemed like they couldn't put the ball in the bucket to save their lives. There were a lot of games last year where the bench went through stretches where they just could not score a point for minutes on end. And so I think for Weltman and Hammond, by picking up Aflalo, it gave him a place where he was very happy to come back to, where he's around personnel, at least in the front office wise, that he's very familiar with. He's in a city and an area and a building and locker room and practice room that he's very familiar with as well, which will make him comfortable. And I think he's going to be put in a role that he'll end up being very comfortable with as well, to where he'll be able to produce. And then you have Maurice Spates, who signed on after him. Obviously, Spates coming from mainly Golden State, where he was remembered for winning a championship the first year that Golden State won with Steph Curry, Klay Thompson, and Draymond Green. So you're bringing in a veteran who has championship finals experience, who's played in those big time moments and played in LA with the Clippers last year with Chris Paul and Blake Griffin, DeAndre Jordan. He's got experience with big name players, and he's a veteran that's been around for a while, and he knows what it takes to get to the top to be able to win a championship in this league. And again, I am very excited about this signing, not necessarily as much because of what he brings basketball-wise, although as the third center on this team, he's not a bad pickup. You're talking about somebody who, as a center, a five position, can step outside the three-point line and hit shots consistently on a very, very hot, consistent basis, and he can heat up very quick. If you've ever watched Maurice Spates before, you know that he's had games where he can score 12 points in a very quick amount of time and heats up like nothing. So, you know, he's a very good basketball pickup off the bench. He also is a good defender on the defensive end, so he's going to bring some physicality and toughness as far as the defense goes. But I'm more excited about him coming for a couple of reasons. Number one, he brings that experience that we talked about that I talked about a second ago, with the championship experience and the knowledge and the veteran leadership and presence. And he did talk about during his press conference when he was being introduced to Orlando how he would love it for a lot of the younger guys to come to him during the season and kind of take him to the side and ask him questions about, how do we get to a playoffs or what kind of mentality do we need to have or that kind of stuff. Because he's been there and he knows what it takes. And that's going to be valuable to a bunch of these newer guys, Jonathan Isaac, Aaron Gordon, and Elfrid Payton, some of these younger players on this team who have not gotten that playoff experience before and really need to be exposed to what that professionalism and that leadership and that hunger needs to be like in order to reach that plateau there. And the other reason why I like this signing is Maurice Spates talked about how much it meant for him to come back home. He's originally from the St. Petersburg area, which is about 2 hours, probably a little bit over 2 hours away from Orlando. He went to school at the University of Florida in Gainesville, which is about 2.5 hours outside of Orlando. So Orlando's really pretty much home for him. He mentioned how he grew up an Orlando Magic fan, really liked Darrell Armstrong and Tony Battee and Bo Outlaw and some of the other older Magic players. Nick Anderson, I think, was on his list. And to me, as a Magic fan, that's huge. Not only because here's a guy who's playing in the NBA that said the Magic has been my team, my dream team forever, which I can relate to because it's the same for me, Maurice Spates, if you're listening out there. But this is a guy that's won a championship with the Warriors that played with the LA Clippers last year. He had an opportunity to stay with the Warriors. I don't think last year when he signed with LA, he necessarily had a chance as the Warriors were clearing out cap room to sign Kevin Durant. But I think there was a possibility this offseason that he might be able to go over there with them. He definitely had a chance to sign with the Clippers to re-sign with them again this past year. And this is a guy that can provide valuable minutes off of the bench. He has shown that he's a scoring threat, has shown that he's a strong veteran presence for teams that need that for their younger guys. He has championship experience. He really could have signed pretty much anywhere that he wanted to and gotten a pretty good deal out of it as well. But for him to say that he didn't want to go back to LA, didn't want to go to any other team that was also offering him contracts, which I have to have a feeling that some of them had to be a little bit above the veterans minimum for the contracts. For him to come to Orlando on the minimum exception, I can't say that word today, on the veterans minimum of exception contract, and for him to say, "I wanted to come to Orlando because this is where I've always wanted to play, and it's been my dream to play for a team like this, and it's something that I've always wanted to do," that's huge. And I don't want to go too far into this because I have at least one or two other topics that I want to get to before I really run out of time here on the podcast. But it's also huge because, mainly because, like I said, I don't want to spend too much time because I'm going to be talking about this also on Orlando Magic Daily, writing an article about it. But this is also huge mainly because this opens up the door for Orlando, I think, later on in free agency next year or in years after to say, this guy who won a championship wanted to come and play in Orlando. Maybe it's a good market. Maybe we should look into doing it. And that may just be the Orlando native in me that's hoping that one of these days Orlando might get chosen for some of these high star players, and that might be thinking way out there and crazy talk. But I think the other big thing that it does is it gives these newer players, or these younger players, I should say, the Aaron Gordons, the Jonathan Isaacs, the Mario Hezonjas, the Elfrid Paytons of the world. It gives them some confidence and some motivation to want to play well now here. Because Maurice Spates mentioned that if his role is to be the cheerleader on the bench for this team, he's okay with doing that. He will cheer on these younger players while they play valuable minutes from the bench and give them some confidence. And I think when you have guys that you've now signed in the offseason, like Maurice Spates, like Aaron Aflalo, like Jonathan Simmons, Kim Birch, who I didn't really get to talk about, another pretty good signing for the Magic, who seems to be on his way to a two-way contract, which I think would be a pretty good idea for the Magic. But you have Kim Birch, Maurice Spates, Aaron Aflalo, Jonathan Simmons, Jonathan Isaac, who got drafted, and let's not forget Wesley Iwundu, who also got drafted by the Magic with the second round pick out of Kansas State. Pretty solid player. He didn't have a eye-popping summer league, but he definitely didn't have a disappointing summer league by any means. And I think he's going to get a lot of time going between the Magic and the Orlando Magic, that is, and the Lakeland Magic going back and forth, which will be a very good plus for him. But what that does is going into training camp and the preseason and for the rest of the season, it's going to give this team some competition, which again is something that I think has been lacking for a long time now in Orlando. When Dwight Howard first left and we had the first empty void, you still had the Jameer Nelsons of the world, and Vucevic came in as the starting center. Nobody really was able to challenge him for that spot, and some of the other guys who were playing just kind of knew that that was going to be their role when they came in. And I felt that way, especially once Hennigan started drafting some of these other guys, Tobias Harris's and the Victor Oladipo's. And don't get me wrong, I love Tobias when he was here. I love Victor when he was here. Aaron Gordon is one of my favorite players, and I see a lot of potential in him. And I have a feeling that he's going to have a standout year, and I'm really hoping he doesn't disappoint me with that, but we'll see how that goes. And Elfrid Payton has the potential, but I think the jury is still out on him as to whether he's going to step up this year or not. But they just kind of got comfortable, I feel like, knowing that they were going to be starting, and there wasn't going to be anybody to really come in and actually take those minutes from them. I think, last year we saw where Aaron got moved to the bench for a little bit of time, and we saw for Peyton get moved to the bench for a little bit of time, and they knew that they needed to improve, but they knew that eventually they were going to be coming back. I think now, not necessarily that Shelvin Mack may take over Elfrid Payton's job, but if Shelvin Mack plays well, he definitely is going to press Elfrid Payton for the amount of minutes that Elfrid plays in a game, especially when you have DJ Augustin still on the team and a little bit of a log jam there at that point guard position. you look at the shooting guard position, Evan Fournier got very comfortable there, I feel like, especially after Victor Oladipo got traded at that shooting guard position, knowing that he was going to be the starter. Now you have Evan Fournier, who can start at shooting guard, Jonathan Simmons, Terrence Ross, who was at small forward last year but can easily play the two guard. You have Mario Hezonja, who can play the two guard. Even Wesley Iwundu could probably play the two guard if he wanted to. So you have a good five or six. Even Shelvin Mack could play two guard if he really wanted to. So you have a good solid five or six players there that could play that two guard position. And those same five or six players could play the three as well. Terrence Ross, Evan Fournier could move up to an undersized three spot. Jonathan Simmons, Jonathan Isaac could easily play the three. We've seen Aaron Gordon at the three. I think last year, after trying him out at three and not really having much success, they're gonna try to venture away from playing him at the three some more. But I guess if they really had to or wanted to, he could get played at the three. But you also have Hezonja, Iwundu, a number of other guys that could easily fill in that three spot and play it. So you have the three. And then even at the four spot, you're gonna have Aaron Gordon, you're gonna have Jonathan Isaac. It's been said that Mario Hezonja can play the four spot. I don't really see it. I really think the jury is still out on that one, but if they want to try it, I guess it's triable. Kim Birch, even though he will be mainly a fourth center, I guess, could slide down and play the four spot, though. He definitely is capable of it. He has a little bit of a mid-range shot, not very a long mid-range shot, but he does have a mid-range shot that would make him pretty valuable at the four spot and can also guard the, two and three positions very well, as well, which makes him a good fit for that four spot. And then at five, you have obviously Vooch, Bismack Biyombo, and Maurice Spates. So there's lots of options as far as the starting five goes, as who you could put where. I think a lot of the biggest decision, at least going into training camp right now, is going to be, does Evan Fournier stay at shooting guard? Does Jonathan Simmons crack the starting lineup? If he does he take over Fournier? Does he take over Terrence Ross? Does Jonathan Isaac start the season, or is he coming off of the bench? If he comes off of the bench, is he going to play the three? Is he going to play the four? A lot of different decisions. I gotta say, before I wrap up this Magic offseason here and the talk about that, which I've talked about for most of this episode, but before I wrap up that Magic offseason talk, if you take a look at the starting lineup that we had at the end of the season last year, so Peyton that point guard, excuse me, Evan Fournier at shooting guard, Terrence Ross at the three, Aaron Gordon at the four, Vucevic at the five. And let's say that same starting lineup starts the season this year. Most likely, I would say your bench rotation coming off of the bench, you're going to have Shelvin Mack at the backup point guard. It seems to me like if they had Jonathan Simmons coming off of the bench, he would be playing the backup shooting guard position. Sorry, excuse me. They would have Aaron Aflalo playing the backup shooting guard position because he just seems to fit that two guard spot a little bit better. and more likely to stay at the top of the wing outside where he's going to hit the 3-point shot better. And they would have Jonathan Simmons, who's a little bit bigger body, a little bit taller, a little bit more stronger, physical, play at that three spot and kind of be a sits man, coming off of the bench to take over Terrence Ross's spot. And then you have Jonathan Isaac coming in at the four behind Aaron Gordon. He's going to be a good stretch four if he plays the four, because he'll be able to stretch the floor out. I see myself getting a little tongue-tied there between four and floor. But he'll be able to stretch the defense out by playing at the four, sitting on the edges of in the corners. He'll have the opportunity to drive the paint just like Aaron Gordon does. And I think he has the length, if not the weight or the mass or muscle density right now, he definitely has the length to be able to compete with the other fours inside on the block, on defense, be able to deflect and disrupt shots and gather some rebounds pretty well and possibly get some putbacks. And then you're going to have Bismack Biyombo, who is the only, from what I can tell, the only returning bench player. The only other way that they would have a returning bench rotation player is if DJ Augustin somehow beats out Shelvin Mack for that backup point guard position, which I don't really see happening. But Bismack Biyombo is the only returning regular bench player for the Magic in their rotation. That just screams to me a super improved bench compared to last year. You get rid of a Jody Meeks who wasn't terribly great or bad, just kind of there. He was injured a lot of the season. You get rid of a Jeff Green who never really showed up throughout the year. You get rid of a Steven Zimmerman who barely played. Get rid of a CJ Wilcox who barely even played. Waive CJ Watson who didn't really do much for you. And all of a sudden, with those guys that you took out and replaced with these guys, much, much better bench. And obviously, I'll be talking about the Magic more as we go on with this podcast. But if I had to give them an off-season grade, it's definitely got to be an A-minus because I can't really see with the improvements that they made in the tight cap space that they had, how they could have really done too much better during the offseason with the signings that they got and the moves that they made. As Weltman has said, the job's never done for the GM, and I think a lot of people agree that the Magic still could tweak the roster a little bit, and we're not really sure how that's going to happen right now. I think they're going to wait and see how this team plays out first and how some of these younger guys like the Elfrid Payton's and the Aaron Gordon's and such do before they really start making some more moves. But I think they're definitely headed in the right direction, and A minus is a for sure thing. So we talked about the homecoming of two of the Magic players this offseason during signings and bringing back Aaron Aflalo and Maurice Spates. And the same week that the Magic signed both of them, there was another homecoming in Orlando sports. And a lot of the Orlando sports writers or podcasters or radio personnel, whoever else, called it Orlando Homecoming Week, rightfully so. And that was because Orlando City was able to make their move of the season and bring Dom Dwyer back to Orlando from Sporting Kansas City, which I definitely think was a great move for them. Dom Dwyer, for those of you who don't know, played on loan for Orlando City when he was with Sporting Kansas City. This was when Orlando City was still on USL Pro level. Played for them and was absolutely beloved by a lot of the fans in Orlando at the time, and really made a big impact on this team. and is still, I think, to this day, one of the leading goal scorers for Orlando City, and has a lot of their records and such. Not too well kept up with that, but he's definitely beloved by the fans. He came back, made his return, and was mobbed by supporters at the airport, and got the welcoming back. And I think a lot of fans were excited to see him play in Atlanta this last week, and thought that maybe he would get them the redemption. Unfortunately, Orlando City, after having been up 1-0 for most of the game, gave up a late game goal to Villalba. I think I'm saying that right. I can't ever say his name right, but it's Villalba, from Atlanta United, very late in the game, and ended up with a disappointing 1-1 draw. But I think the hope for a lot of Orlando City fans in that signing was that they would be able to bring Dom Dwyer back, and he would get them some much needed goals that they haven't gotten in the last part of the season. For much of the season, they just have not been able to put the ball in the net. Starting off the season, winning 6 out of 7 games, and they've only won 2 out of their last 14 matches now. In Orlando City, I don't want to say it feels like they hit the panic button, but they knew that they had to do something soon by getting Dom Dwyer back. And I think it was a good move. My only hope is that they don't rely on this to be the one and only go-to, because what I'd hate to see is them bring Dom Dwyer back and put a lot of hope on its shoulders, and maybe he doesn't produce the way that they want him to, and Orlando City falls down a little bit, and all of a sudden, everything starts crumbling around him. So, but I think Orlando City has got to find a way, as I get ready to wrap up this podcast, and I might talk about this more in a more Orlando City-centric a podcast later on. I spent a lot of time talking about the Magic's offseason, and rightfully so, but I think Orlando City has got to find a way to be able, at least for this year, because we don't know the situation going into next year with Kyle Larin. It seems like, from what I've heard from a lot of sources who know a little bit more about this kind of stuff than I do, but at least for this year, they have to find a way to get Dwyer and Larin to coexist on the field, and for that front chemistry to kind of mesh together. They got to be able to get Larin and Dwyer both aggressive and attacking the same way, and the midfield's got to find a way to send balls into them to be able to give them solid finishes that are meaningful in right positions. And I think if Orlando City can find a way to be able to get service into that attacking zone a lot more than they have in the first part of the season, the first half of the season, because so far they've been ranked, I believe it's lowest in the MLS for goals. So clearly they need to be putting the ball more in the net. They've got to find a way to get that attack up. And I'm not exactly sure, the Etso logistics of how they need to do that. But you can definitely tell that if they want to stay in the playoffs, they've got to find a way to get their attack going, because right now it's just not working. And not just get their attack going, but they have to find a way as a team to sustain leads for a full game. I mean, we saw in the Atlanta United game, yes, they only scored one goal, and it would have been nice to score some more. I think they had a few chances where they could have and should have scored some more, but they still had a 1-0 lead for most of the game, and they gave up a late game goal right at the end. And their defense has got to find a way, late in games to be able to stay solid and really not give up those kinds of goals like that. I think another thing that kind of hurt them in that vein, or in that way, was Jason Kreis's questionable, in my opinion, decision to sub out Kyle Larin and Dom Dwyer late in the game. It seemed to me like he took the approach of playing not to lose rather than playing to win. Because you have your two top attackers, and yes, Dwyer had only been there for, maybe a week, not even that long. Hadn't really gotten a chance to practice too much with the team. Kyle Larin had just gotten back. I think the Atlanta game was his, I want to say, his second game that he's been with the team, at least since his Gold Cup appearance with the Canadian national team. So he's, getting back into the flow of things, and it was their first game together, and you could kind of see where they were stepping on each other's toes, which goes back to the whole chemistry deal with that. But you have two solid attackers who are tops in the league at being able to finish. It just seemed like to me you can't take both of them out. I mean, I wouldn't even have taken one of them out that late in the game. But even if you take one out, you can't take both of them out, especially that late in the game, and totally get rid of your whole attack. And so they got to be able to way to find to make that work as well. So I think that's about it for my first podcast. I don't want to go too long with this and keep it at a decent amount of time, I guess. There's a lot to talk about with the Magic's off season in this first episode, going over a whole 4 months in a short amount of time. But please let me know if you like the podcast. I'm planning on putting some polls up to get some interaction going, and if you want to discuss some of the things that I've talked about today, or if you have an idea of how Orlando City could improve their team going into the second half of the season, looking to make the playoffs, let me know. I'm going to pull a poll up on Twitter, whether you think Orlando City will end up making the playoffs this year, yes or no. And I think we'll spend a little bit more time on the Nets podcast talking about whether Orlando City can make the playoffs or not, and what your Twitter results were, and any other kind of Magic news. So that's it for me today. You can find that Twitter poll and follow me on Twitter at JTMagic1989 on Twitter. That's where that poll will be at. Follow me on there. There will be some news and updates about the podcast, about the Magic, and everything else. So be sure to check out Orlando Magic Daily as well, to see all the articles that my fellow contributors and I write on there. My new post should be going up sometime within the next few days, and to be able to listen to Philip Rossman Reich, our editor, and read some of his tweets and articles. So until next time, that'll be it for me, and we are out of here until next week. Thanks, everyone, and have a great weekend.